Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Please be seated. As is often said, the three most important things to consider in real estate are location, location, location. However, when studying God's Word, the three most important things to consider are context, context, context. And what is the context of our gospel text this morning? Well, Jesus is teaching believers. He is teaching his disciples, that is, all who have heard his call to repentance, those who have come to faith and trust in him, and that includes you and me. Last week we heard in the Beatitudes that Jesus has declared you, believing disciples, he has declared you blessed, because in Christ you possess all the gospel blessings that Jesus grants to all who are his disciples, from this day until the last day on his return. Blessings such as redemption in his blood, the forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation, all according to the riches of his grace. The context of our text today is you, dear disciple of Christ. Now that you have been declared blessed in Christ and strengthened by his gospel message, Jesus now gives you and all believers your calling. He gives you your identity as a disciple of Christ. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Salt is for corruption and decay. It kills bacteria and preserves. Light casts out darkness. In Scripture, the darkness is usually associated with evil and danger, or the condition of being lost and unable to find one's way. And it's no secret, all you got to do is look around the world. Ever since the fall in the garden from Adam, corruption, evil, and darkness abound. Just when you think it cannot get any worse, as we heard downstairs in Bible study earlier, when you think it can't get any worse, someone says, here, hold my beer. Well, when you think it can't get any worse, somehow it gets more deadly and more perverse. It takes the country by storm. It comes from the unholy trinity of the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh. They continue to corrupt and decay the earth. The world is shrouded in the darkness of sin and death, and all of those walking in that darkness are lost. They'll never find their way on their own. In our text, the salt is metaphorical. Just as salt preserves food against corruption and decay, so too, by your Christian witness, sharing the good news and word of God, the word preserves the earth from corruption and decay. The earth needs to be salted with that word of God. And you are the one who God has called to do it. People need to be called to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the salt of the earth. It's your calling. It's your identity. Now, the light in our text is not quite as metaphorical, because Jesus is the true light, which gives light to everyone. Each Christian disciple is a reflection of Christ to the world. Shining the light of Christ's word into the world, into the darkened world, so that unbelievers might hear the word and become enlightened by the gospel and know the redeeming love that is in Jesus. The world needs to have the light of Christ shown into the darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. You are the light of the world. It, too, is your calling. It is your Christian identity. So are you prepared to go out and be salt and light? Are you up for the task? I imagine those disciples sitting on the mountainside with their Lord, they didn't think that they were up to the task. And like them, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm merely just a teaspoon of salt. What good is a teaspoon of salt in an ocean full of unsavory decay? Or I'm only one small glimmer of a wick of a candle trying to shine in the midst of a huge black hole of darkness. Or maybe you're thinking that if it's your responsibility to salt the earth, well, the earth's going to decay. It's going to get awfully rotten around here. Or if I'm the light of the world, sorry about your luck, you're going to remain in darkness. But consider St. Paul. He was only one man sent to preach to the Gentiles. In that day, most orators and philosophers enjoyed showing off their rhetorical skills, their ability to debate. And Paul was educated, and he was likely trained in rhetoric and debate. But he didn't rely on his flowery phraseology or mysterious insight into the knowledge to be salt and light to the Gentiles. No, he was simple salt and light. He decided to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's all it takes. One person, like St. Paul, proclaiming God's word. And you know why it only takes one person? Because the word does all the work. God's word is living and active and creative. And it accomplishes exactly the very purpose for which God sends it out. It works in ways that the world finds foolish. While people desire to hear from enlightened philosophers speaking with lofty wisdom, lofty words of speech, the Holy Spirit works through simple words from ordinary people. Otherwise, men's faith would rest in the wisdom of men, not in the power of God's word. All it takes is one person, and God has called you to be salt and light. He has called you in baptismal waters to be his own. And as Jesus' disciple, God is sending you out into the workplaces and the neighborhoods and the parks and the shopping malls and wherever you find yourself to be salt and light. You don't need fancy rhetoric or logic. Just look at me. All you need is the truth of God's word, because the gospel stands all on its own. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, I've given you all this law, and you're probably thrown into a panic and afraid that you have not been salty enough or your light has not been shining brightly enough. Let me point out something important in our text. Jesus is not giving commands in our text. He's making objective statements. He's not saying you should be salt or you should be light. No, he says you are salt to the earth. You are the light to the world. He's not trying to put you on a guilt trip or strike fear of the fear of God in your heart. No, he's telling you your identity as a disciple in Christ. Your identity is not created and preserved by how well you perform, the works that you do. It is your identity proclaimed by Christ. It is preserved and created by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit sustains you. It's not a mandate of what you are supposed to do, but it is a description of who you are in Christ. Your present tense reality, it's what your Savior has worked in you and made you by His grace. You are that which salts the earth, and you are that which lights the world. Now, to be sure, it is a difficult challenge to be called, to be who you are called to be as a disciple in Christ. It's a difficult challenge to be light and salt and light. And it is difficult to live as one redeemed by Christ in this corrupt, decaying, and darkened world. Boy, it's a whole lot simpler to live as an animal who simply gets up in the morning and you go and you work. You come home and you eat and then you sleep. It's kind of like the back of the shampoo bottle. Lather, rinse, repeat every day in your routine. And it seems a burden to live in the image of God rather than do what the world expects of you. The world expects you to gossip about your neighbor. The world expects you to cheat on your spouse, on your taxes, on your neighbor. The world expects you to whore after the pleasures of the world and put your own needs before everyone else's. It's a challenge because Satan is constantly tempting you to be someone whom you are not. Someone less than you are, someone less than what Christ has called you to be. Someone less than what the world could ever dream that it could be. Do not be fooled. You are much greater than what the world could dream of, because you are a child of God. He chose you in baptismal waters. He adopted you, made you one of His own family, and He is the one who made you salty in baptismal waters. At the font, you received the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. You are illumined by the Holy Spirit. So in actuality, there is no challenge involved at all. Because when Jesus calls you as salt and light, He knows that you cannot be salt and light on your own or without Him. So if you're going to remain to be salt and light, Jesus is going to remain with you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He works in you and through you so that you are salt and light wherever you go. You are salt and light in your families, whether you're a child, a parent, a grandparent, husband, wife, whatever your relationship. You are salt and light in the workplace as employers and employees. You are salt and light in the community, as friends and neighbors, as citizens of city, state, and country. All of these roles, Jesus has promised to be with you so that you might be able to salt the earth and be light to the world. When Christians interact with those living in darkness, those folks living without hope, the believer can be salt and light by assuring them that there is a loving God out there, one who loved them to death on Calvary's cross, one who redeemed them through Jesus' death on the cross. They too can know the hope that is in Christ Jesus. They can know the light has always been there for them, and it will always remain with them, never leaving them or forsaking them. They too can know that there are no hoops to jump through, no laws that must be kept, because Jesus has already fulfilled the law. Jesus says, I come not to abolish the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill them. And he did it all because he knew that you and I cannot do it on our own. He did it. He put himself under the law to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are the salt of the earth that preserves the earth from corruption and decay. You are a light unto the world, reflecting the true light of Christ, shining into this darkened and unbelieving world. You are salt and light so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your friends and neighbors and acquaintances might be called to repentance and faith in Christ, so that they too would have the joy of salvation, the joy of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, knowing that they are free to live out their calling, live out their identity as Jesus' disciples, bearing fruits of faith, performing good works and deeds, not because they're required, but because they flow from that faith, doing them out of love of God and neighbor. Jesus has called you and given you your identity as a disciple. You are salt and light. But God's powerful word does all the work. His strong word that you just sang about before the sermon. God's strong word that cleaved the darkness at creation. The strong word that cleaved the darkness when he took on human flesh at his incarnation. His strong word cleaved the darkness in his death and resurrection, shining light of his salvation into the darkened world. God's strong word bespeaks you righteous. For the sake of Jesus' holiness, his innocent suffering and death for you. God's strong word proclaims you, dear disciple, you believer in Christ, proclaims you not guilty of your sin, just as if you have never sinned. God's strong word proclaims the power and wisdom of the cross. Christ and him crucified so that you might have new life in him for all eternity. You are salt and light in this darkened and unsavory world. And it is you, it is who you are in Christ. And that's why it's important that you come to the divine service each week, because it is here that you hear the proclaimed word of God, his strong word. And it's where God's strong word restores you and strengthens your faith, forgiving your sins. It salts you and illumines you with the Holy Spirit. And just as salt kills bacteria and preserves food, when you feed on Jesus' body and blood in his Holy Supper, he forgives your sins and preserves you in body and soul unto life everlasting. And you have his promise that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.